I think one of the take-home lessons, and this is something I'll emphasize at the end, is that when you look at these sorts of things through the lens of, I have a crop and I want to do something with it, it looks a little different than when you look at it from the software going back toward, yes, you can do it with any crop. And one of the advantages of this approach is that it's unifying a lot of different efforts in a way that those efforts don't need to be duplicated. So the question here relative to the three different apple sequences has to do with essentially if those apple sequences had originally been deposited in the way that these programs want them to be, you would have all of that data together in one place that you could do the integration. And I think you used the word manually.
But
in fact, if these were all in a uniform data standard format, you would be able to flip them against each other much more easily than you can as they've come to you. Okay, Trevor, our next presentation. I was at a meeting 2 years ago in Pullman where Dory was interested in database logging, and Trevor walked into the room with a program and an application. Since that time, he's acquired both a PhD and a beard, and I'm interested to see what he's going to say today.
Hi, good afternoon. If you were at my talk this morning, there'll be a little bit of overlap, like 100% overlap with the slides. But you can meet me in the hallway later and tell me how good I did both times. I'm a postdoc in the Jesse Pullman lab at Kansas State University. My PhD was in wheat genetics, and now I've taken a side project that was supposed to be a small side project and blown it up into an entire postdoc. My background, just to put everything into context, is with wheat and wheat breeding, row crops, things that aren't really here at all. But all of this stuff, in my opinion, can be applied and utilized by horticulturists and really any plant scientist that's out there. And so just to start off, as an accolade to all the breeders in the room, the breeding cycle in and of itself is pretty simple. We have these three different steps where we choose germplasm that exists, we intercross those different parents to generate novel allelic combinations, and then over a long, long, long period of time, depending on which crop you're breeding, we select those different lines that feed back into that cycle. And so several years ago when we were looking at this cycle, we saw the differences between what was happening in the real world with the smartphone revolution, essentially, that everyone had a smartphone in their hand, that tablets were being developed, that everything was being digitized, versus how plant breeders were collecting data, which was pen and paper, always, spending the next 3 months typing that information in, and then making that selection, often after it was relevant, so they would miss that entire window of being able to plant their selected lines. And this really did happen in a lot of cases. And so we thought to ourselves, what part of this cycle could we target to have the most impact? And it was obviously the evaluation and collecting data step. And so we developed Fieldbook. And Fieldbook is a phenotypic data collection app. This is the main screen layout, and it can really be broken down into four different components. So up at the top, we have our info bars, and these two, or on tablets, three pieces of information display fields that are imported by the user, so we can modify this to show pedigree, to show previous phenotypic data, really whatever the user wants to display. Below that, we have the current trait that we're developing, or collecting, not developing, between the two arrows that can move forward or backward to the next or previous trait. And then underneath the trait name, we also have some details that the user can input. In this case, we have height, which is being measured in centimeters. Underneath that, we have our entry navigation, moving forward or backward with the two arrows once again. Between the arrows, we have two fields that are defined by the user. Here I've chosen row and plot, but this could be things like row and column or plot and plant, really whatever you are collecting data on. You can specify those when you import a file. And at the bottom, we have our data collection area. And when we developed this, we wanted this to be as big as possible, because when you're in the field, you don't want to be zooming in or zooming out of a spreadsheet to type in a piece of data, and then have to click on the next piece of data, next cell, and it's an absolute mess. And so we wanted to focus on simple layouts that would be easy to type in data. So as I said, you can navigate between plots or traits. We display the extra information up above. The whole app is entirely customizable, really, to what you want to use it for. And then I'll talk on the next slide, but we have different trait formats and different trait layouts depending on what type of data you're collecting. And then you can manage those traits within the app. And so I think Dory had old numbers, but we're up to 4,300 total installs, which is, every time I have to give this presentation, I look at that number and it's jumped by several hundred. I think the last time was in August, and it had gone from 3,900 to 4,300. So it's really exciting. So these are the different traits that you can collect you can create and then collect when you're using this app. Just starting from the left over here, we have our numeric, which just gives a number keypad, a categorical, where we define 12 different categories that the user can then choose one of those categories, a percent, which is a slider bar, a date, which shows the current date by default, and then you can move forward or backward in single day increments. So for things like flowering, which is what we use it for, our heading, this is a really useful trait. Our Boolean trait, which gives a true or false button. Our photo trait, which allows you to collect a photo of what you're looking at. That photo is then named for that ID. You can collect multiple photos, and then they're all saved and organized within the device, which is the way that people have explained how they did this beforehand is like, you know, take a picture of a card and then take a photo of the thing, and then you have to remember whether or not you took the photo of the card first or the thing. So all of your phenotypes could be reversed. We have a text trait, which just shows the system keyboard. A disease rating trait with customizable disease percent as well as the reaction type, and then those are all interchangeable. A location trait to collect a point location for a specific entry, a counter trait to increment forward or backward one at a time, a multi-categorical trait, which you can define as many categories as you want and then combine those together. This is just a shout out to Mendel. If he had this, it would have been a lot faster to collect all of those phenotypes that he did. And then an audio trait, which records an MP3 and saves it the same way as it does photos. So it names it with the ID and then stores it on the device. And so all of these combined together really make this a powerful tool for data collection. We're adding traits based on what the users want. And then increasing the flexibility, increasing the customizability to users. And so based on the feedback that we got from Fieldbook several years ago, we started looking at different aspects of the breeding program that we could also target to increase the efficiency of. And so the first was inventory. And so our inventory system at K-State, just to give a quick overview, we take a sample, put it into a box, put the box into a room. And so if we want to pull that sample out in 10, 20, or never years, we need to know which box that sample went into. And so this was just a simple way to associate sample IDs with box IDs. What we really begin to understand, though, was that we could expand that and at the same time collect weight data by integrating this USB scale that plugs directly into the tablet. And so now we can use this app not only for things like inventory, but also collecting harvest weight, sample weight, very rapidly. This has shaved weeks off of breeding programs' time that they spend collecting weight, because you just put the sample on, scan the barcode, put the next sample on, scan the barcode, and that weight is tied to that barcode. And then the data that you collect, you can export to a CSV file to either run analysis or import into a database. Since I'm talking to the database crowd. So we wanted to also target areas of data collection that would be important for within the lab. And so we developed this app that is extremely powerful and extremely flexible that lets you, in a broad sense, just organize samples in grids. Now, the way this works is you define a template, and within that template, you can exclude rows or columns, you can change the naming schemes of the rows and columns, and then you can add custom metadata fields. And then from that template, you can create different grids. And so we have two default templates that are included. Up on the top, we have a DNA plate, so it goes from A to off the screen H and 1 to 12. It also includes a randomly chosen excluded well, which we in our program use for, controls, just to know where which plates go to which data. And this has been important in several cases. Below that is a template that we use in wheat breeding that we use to plant early generation lines in single row plots. But like I said, you can create your own custom templates depending on what you're collecting or what you're doing. So Verify isn't quite out yet, but it will be in the next few weeks. And what this app is for data viewing and verification, hence the name Verify. I know I'm great with names. So how this works is you take a file, you import it into the app, you choose the column of that file which corresponds to the barcodes of your samples or plants or seed envelopes, whatever you're working with. You can scan those entry barcodes, and depending on which mode you've selected, the app will behave different ways. So in the default mode, and this is really how this app started. It just started with the idea of this default mode. So in this default mode, you just show the entry info. So here we scanned this first entry, and we have all of this info for that entry. But we've also expanded this into showing things, into things like matching an order. So if we're planting a bunch of samples, we can quickly scan through those samples and make sure that they match the planting order versus the order that someone else might have put them into. I blame the undergrads this morning, so I'll do it again. We can filter to remove scanned items. So if we have a collection of samples that we're planting, we can, each time we plant one, we can scan that sample, remove it from the list, and once we get to the end, hopefully all of the samples have been planted, and if they haven't been, you can freak out. We can also color to paint scanned items. So this is basically the exact same thing, except it doesn't remove it from the list. And for these last two modes, we can export that modified list of entries to go further investigate what was going on. So we originally started this project way back just working on data collection. But as we move forward, we've started utilizing a lot of the different sensors that are built into the phones and tablets today to start looking at analysis as a potential tool as well. And that's where 1KK comes in. And so this is named for the 1,000 kernel seed weight that a lot of plant breeders use as a selection tool. Fundamentally, it's a seed image analysis app that uses a non-parametric algorithm to identify individual seeds, and then uses the smart grain algorithm to measure the parameters of those seeds. Once you've collected all of that information across your samples, you can export those formats either as sample summaries or as all of the raw data that goes along with it. And so I developed this about a year and a half ago or so, and did all the testing in my office, and it works really well in my office, but it doesn't really work so well in the real world, in everyone else's office. And so we're working on a rewrite of this app that will make it a lot more flexible. I'm really excited, like the workflow, we were kind of scooped on this too, but the workflow is a lot different, but very similar, and it'll be a lot more fundamentally useful for breeding programs. Just to zoom in and look at how this works, though, we have our individual seeds that have been identified, all of the length and width, area, circumference parameters, and then using these blue circles as a reference circle to correlate that real-world measurement into pixels. So the coming soon of all of this is that on Fieldbook, we're working with different database groups to add external database support, mostly through the breeding API that's being developed. We're working in conjunction with the survey app that will collect independent location data to integrate that location data into Fieldbook, so that ultimately you can combine Fieldbook with an RTK GPS and then use that for navigation instead of having to import the file and move from entry to entry. We're working on adding trait plugins so that users, aside from myself, can integrate the traits that they want, whether that's software or hardware traits. And then we're working on adding repeated measurements, so things like time series or multiple samples from a specific entry. As I mentioned in 1KK, we have the new workflow that will also be accompanied with a counting algorithm. With that counting algorithm, we'll work on integrating a scale. So ultimately, we can take a photo of a seed lot that's on a scale, combine the seed weight with the count number, and give you the 1,000 kernel weight, which is what the app was named for, but doesn't actually do right now. On Intercross, developing an app to track the crossing blocks that plant breeders are developing or are using and creating every year, along with printing cross labels so that those crossed, so that the F1 seed is more easily trackable within the breeding program. And then in the longer term, developing Vault to manage samples and germplasm collections, and Wrangle, which is going to be used for seed angle analysis, which is surprisingly highly correlated to yield in wheat and barley, and I think a few other crops as well. So my ultimate goal for this project then is to take some commodity hardware off the shelf, combine that with some inexpensive hardware, so a $30 scale, a $60 label printer, a $15 barcode scanner, and a really expensive GPS unit that is not going to be in this collection, but is still cool. And have for $200 to $300, have a hardware suite that we can drop into breeding programs to help elevate how they are collecting and managing data. Switching from the paper to the digital isn't an easy thing for anybody. We were working on this for years before the wheat breeder in Kansas finally switched over, not last year, but the year before. But once he did, he said, "I'm never going back. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have done this a long time ago." So for more information, you can go to the website at phenoapps.org. Most of the apps that I talked about today are available on Google Play. All of the source code is available on GitHub. And then our lab website is wheatgenetics.org, and the project website is /apps. So everyone in the pollen lab has been instrumental in testing and debugging and helping along with these apps. The grant funding my postdoc is a NSF bread grant, so also funding coming from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then Dory Main has also provided support from Washington State University as well. And with that, I think I'm over time. Ah, yes.
Yeah, that's okay. But here, I congratulate you. This is the best thing since sliced bread that we've used American euphemism for plant breeders. It's awesome. I've used it in my neighborhood program. It's really sensible. So I have a question.
I'll take kudos.
You get it. You're good. You're my hero.
I think that might be the best compliment I've ever gotten from a talk, so thank you.
And stuff, and it's illegible, and you have to type that in. So
So. So the question is, does the audio trait, can you translate that to text? And the answer is, I'm going to go back really quickly. Down here on the text trait, there's a microphone. And so I will let Google handle that. Yeah, they'll know how to do it a lot better than me. Yes. Yes. Not right now. We don't, unfortunately, don't have the funding to target both platforms. Yeah, but so I was approached after my talk this morning, and the argument that I made is that for the cost of one iPhone, you could basically outfit your entire program with Android phones. And since we're targeting developing breeding programs, it made a lot more sense to target Android than it did iOS. And I'm a big Android nerd anyway. So that there are filters that you can add on to phones that a little bit inhibit the sunlight reflectance. So the developer that we hired to actually do real developing on this project and not like my pseudo-developing is currently doing a full rewrite of Coordinate that will add significantly more features, including, I think, that one. Thank you. Yeah. I'll get him afterwards.